Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say, I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that joyously celebrates the end of 2020, but wonders what 2021 has on its bingo card. This is Hysteria 51.
I'm hoping for kaiju, lots of them, then the leaders of nations will have no choice but to band together and make me into a Jaeger, and I think we can all agree that would be the best thing ever.
That would literally be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, and our robots have not turned into Jaegers yet, luckily. I am your host, John Goforth. Alongside is my co-host and the man voted in high school most likely to build a murderous drunk robot, Mr. Brent Hand.
I was very, very active in high school on the most voted to stage. We're all finding out.
It's true.
That was a pretty prophetic yearbook club to include that category, really, when you're thinking about it, you know, and firing on all cylinders. But as you know, as they say, if I knew then what I know now, John.
You would have built me even sooner. That's sweet, Brent.
No.
But you're forgetting that I'm eternal.
No, he isn't. You are not eternal.
I eternal 222. Eternal, 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 eternal sunshine of the spotless mind.
Here at Lacuna, we have perfected a safe, effective technique for the focused erasure of troubling memories.
Eternal champions. Eternal flame.
Is this burning?
Burning.
An eternal flame.
Kyle! What if we told you about playing bangles on the show? Some people's robots, John, I tell you.
Yeah. No bangles. It's almost like the Eagles. No, just almost as bad. Anyway, for those of you who are new to the show, the wannabe Gundam is Conspiracy Bot. Brent built him in his lab to help write and produce the show. And if it isn't already painfully obvious, he does not do those things.
Yeah, some have called him a failure of imagination. And as his creator, I can 100% tell you that I wholeheartedly agree. Mistakes were made, John. Listeners, mistakes were made.
It's like whenever I'm playing Call of Duty and I, you know, jump off the stage or whatever and commit suicide accidentally, it always says, you know, the name of the player, mistakes were made. Yeah, was made here. Speaking of mistakes, the other voice you heard is Kyle. Kyle is Conspiracy Bot's robot sidekick, I guess you'd call him.
Mm.
Imagine if Frankenstein's monster decided to science up his own monster. That's Kyle in a manner of speaking.
He's like Frankenweiner, but less appealing.
I did the mash. The monster mash.
And on that note, let's get on with the episode.
Yes.
The wrap-up episode. And it's W-R-A-P, not R-A-P. It's not the wrap episode.
We're not rap battling. Knees weak.
I do have spaghetti all over my shirt, which is weird because I haven't had spaghetti in days. I wouldn't worry about it. It's fine.
Well, Brent, as we wrap up what has been one hell of a year, we thought we should take some time and look back at what was 2020, the disease-soaked political cesspool that had everyone wearing masks, making sourdough, and starting podcasts.
Man, I forgot sourdough was a thing, and you jumped on that bandwagon.
Oh, I jumped on hard. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, I learned how to bake, though.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, something, speaking of food, and in 2020, one good thing, I think, to come out of the year was we debuted Cafeteria 51. And I say good because, wow, you guys really liked it.
Well, they like telling us to eat gross shit.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they missed, like, what we came up with was, like, what is stuff that people actually really eat and enjoy that's a little weird? And people are like, penis. All right. Well, what else? Horse penis. Calm down a little bit.
No, that's great. What else? Whale penis.
Whale vagina. Okay. We'll try it.
But we've gotten a lot of nice notes, a lot of nice messages on the various social media platforms. And you can also see it in the numbers. You, dear listener, have whether you're hate listening or just listening, you have consumed Cafeteria 51. So we thought we would start with a mini episode of Cafeteria 51. We plan on bringing it back in 2021.
There'll be bonus episodes that you can skip over and tell us how much you hate or love, just like Correct. All the other ones this year.
Correct. But here, if you really don't want to listen, I guess you can skip hit the 15-second button a few times and get past this. But we're going to do it. And we're going to do it a little different this evening.
We don't know what each other's eating, John.
We don't know what the other person's eating. So we're going to try it and we're going to explain it without giving it away. It's like the what was the old was it $25,000 pyramid with Dick Clark where they had to.
There was a couple
give of the topic, but they couldn't use the word to explain the thing.
Yeah,
you know,
and, yeah. Yeah, the little screens they turn towards themselves. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So welcome into the Cafeteria $25,000 pyramid.
It's a blind taste test, but not for ourselves, so to speak.
So, Brent, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. I think you're going to get mine right off. I'm going to describe it first. It comes in a box, and that box opens up.
What is the box made of?
Box material.
Okay, so yeah, like cardboard?
It's like cardboard. It's very slick. It's printed all over. It has the name of the company, the names, and on the back, you get a nice picture of what's in there. And then it is in its own can. This can is good until 4/12 of 2022. So we got a little time. I'm ahead of the curve.
Oh, okay. So it's a can inside of a box.
Yeah. So the can, the only thing printed on the can is the Best Buy. So if you have lost your box, it's a crapshoot on this stuff here.
Okay. Okay.
I did not bring a palate cleanser. I'm not sure how I'm going to love this, but we're going to crack this guy open. You just eat it straight out of there. I'm sure you could do other things with it, especially put it on crackers and stuff. But I'm more of a purist, which makes a lot of you mad listening at home. But I want to try it. So I'm cracking her open.
You're not going to fancy her up.
No. This is. Oh, man. It is. It smells like feet. Soaked Vienna sausages. It is nothing. That's not what it is. It's not Vienna sausages.
So it sounds delicious already.
Yeah.
You know how much I enjoyed Vienna sausages, and add feet into that mix. Okay.
All right. So it is in liquid.
So is it one pungent. Big thing or is it multiple things?
Two of the tasty treats in there. Excuse me as I turn away to grab a paper towel. Because I'm making a mess.
Okay.
I'm sure you got a pretty good guess. What do you think it is? Maybe you don't. I don't know.
You threw me off with the Vienna sausage thing.
It's just the smell. It's pungent.
When you said can, mm-hmm. I didn't think you went with another, canned meat. I was leaning towards like anchovies or sardines or something mm-hmm. like that. But the Vienna sausage part threw me off.
It's sardines. You did say
it. Oh, I got it.
Now that I got a better smell, it smells more like tuna that is just ripe. You know, when you open a can of tuna. Well, this
oh,
is
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've got.
Yeah, it reminds you what it is very quickly.
Wild Planet, wild sardines in water with sea salt.
Oh, I actually like those. I have the Wild Planet. I eat those.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so here we go. I'm going to pull one of these guys out. These are deheaded. I just pulled part of one out. They're very, like, they're so big, they don't want to come out of the thing. Hold on.
And they fall apart pretty easy. Yeah.
Hey, hold on. Here we go. Tastes like tuna. It tastes just like tuna.
There's nothing offensive about them.
No, other than the look.
It's a common misconception that, like,
It's a little fishier than regular tuna. I will say that.
What's that?
It's a little stronger, fishier.
Yeah, yeah. But they're really healthy and a really good source of protein.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to eat a little higher in protein and more protein, less Oreos has been my approach. And so I've been eating those and you said Wild Planet because that just rang a bell. Cause that's the brand I buy.
More, so it is good.
They're pretty not bad. I like them. I don't like, they also sell them like flavored, like they'll sell them in mustard or in hot sauce.
I don't mind the mustard. I've had those before.
Yeah. I haven't liked the flavored ones that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't like those flavors, but because whatever they used to, I don't know, elicit those, whatever they used to be those flavors didn't ring true to me. Like I'd rather just add my own mustard or add my own hot sauce.
Well, this was an easy to find one that people had asked for. If you like tuna out of the can, there's no reason you wouldn't like this other than if you can't get past the idea of it, which it looks like a fish with its head cut off.
So let's say let's say for a second that, you know, for whatever reason, it's all you had in the house and you're hungry. Would you, how would you eat them? Would you, if you were going back to like actually have this for a meal, would you?
I'd probably just put them on crackers and eat it that way.
Just plain on crackers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how I do eat them.
The bones are not, I mean, you can't even taste anything in them.
Right, right. You know? It doesn't need like I've seen people talk about, you know, adding all these sauces and or other toppings. It just doesn't need it. I mean,
well, I'm the type that'll crack open a can of tuna and just eat it or eat it with crackers.
Yeah.
I would even add mayo to it.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing that with tuna lately too. They have those tuna creations packs that are flavored. Like it'll be like a ranch flavor. And it's not like ranch dressing, it's just like ranch seasoning inside the tuna or those on the other hand, as opposed to the sardines, the flavors are really good. There's a lemon pepper one that's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, these are just, I mean, they look just like a fish, you know, with its head and its tail cut off and it tastes very good. It's very soft, very easy to eat. Nothing gross about it other than the look, because you're eating the skin and all. You can see the color and everything. This fish had his day planned ahead of him before this happened. You know what I mean?
So second question,
uh-huh.
Will you eat them for enjoyment in the future?
I don't know. I mean, I got a mouthful right now. Yeah.
I mean, this is for science, obviously.
And I was in the aisle and I saw them. There's no reason I wouldn't. I don't know. I have not had any type of sardine since I was young. You know, we always had them at home. My dad ate them from time to time. We didn't always have them, I guess. So, yeah, I could see myself totally eating this. And especially, like you said, protein and stuff like that. If you need it, or if you're working out, or if you're sick, or things like that, this is a very healthy, very easy, and tasty thing. Again, I think the number one thing it's got going against it is the stigma. And
Yeah. Well, and I think there's another thing that goes along with the stigma. Reminds me of Brussels sprouts. We all hated Brussels sprouts when we were growing up because when we were served them, someone steamed them and added nothing to them and they smelled like poop and they said, eat them. And you're like, well, no, this is awful. I hate this. And then, you know, you grew up and you figured out you could mix them with bacon and do some other things. And
now I will say this. I am not a Brussels sprout fan. My wife loves them. And so we go to, there's a couple places by us that have like all sorts of Brussels sprouts. They're blackened and fried and all this stuff, and I always try them, and then I'm always still like, oh, but I get that. Like, I get what you're saying.
Well, I'm not saying everyone has to like them, but I'm saying that we were all taught that they were a certain thing, and then we found out later that they're not that thing. That you might still not like them, but they're not the thing we thought they were when they were growing up.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
And I think sardines are the same thing.
Yeah.
Like sardines were like I'm thinking of like military grade sardines.
The crunchy, you can still taste the, you know, the spine down it and shit, you know?
Yeah. And probably not the highest quality. They'll have that metallic taste, you know, just and very fishy.
That's called mercury, my friend.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, but the Wild Planet, wow, that's actually a really good brand. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Lisa, if it's a fish, she's in. And she loves, what's the gefilte fish? The pickled fish in the jar.
Oh gosh, the stuff they serve at Passover.
Mm-hmm. She loves that
gefilte fish. Yeah,
yeah, you know, just the jellied fishes and shit. You know, stuff that I don't want. Not that I've For as much pickled stuff as I love, there's a lot of pickled stuff that I hate. She loves pickled eggs. I love eggs. I love pickled stuff. Hate pickled eggs.
I actually will. I'll pickle my own eggs. Well, and what I mean by that is, whenever I finish a jar of pickles, I'll boil a few eggs and just throw them in there.
Yeah. So it changes the texture so much. They get so hard, rubbery.
Yeah, they do.
I think that's the thing I don't like.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. I got to put my guessing cap on.
All right. I'm going to try it.
How big my item. So it's done. Like it's, you're not.
So first let me tell you, it started in a can.
Okay.
I warmed it up. Okay.
Excuse me as I'm washing down my fish.
Just tried some.
Okay.
Well, first I'll say it tastes roughly like I expected it to taste. It's fine. It's not great, but it's not bad. There's more. I'll give you a hint. It's meant to be a filling of sorts.
Okay.
I'll leave that. It's savory, not sweet.
A savory filling. You heat it up from a can.
And I anticipated it to be very meat heavy or meat forward.
Okay.
And it is surprisingly vegetative forward.
Okay. So when you said it was in a can, I don't know. So it's veggie forward. I have no idea. What is it?
I'll give you a couple other hints.
Okay.
It is an ethnic food.
Okay.
Meaning it is not, not a homegrown original, or, well, actually this creation is most likely very US oriented, but what it is trying to emulate, is an ethnic food. It is made by a brand that makes other items that go along with that said food. So it's whole line
like
of,
you know, kishki or something like that. Is it?
No. Well, you just want me to tell you?
Sure.
I saw this in the store on the shelf, and I'm like, oh my God, I've never even seen this. It's made by Pace.
The brand that makes the dips and stuff.
Yeah. Like the salsa. Yeah.
New York City.
Get a rope. It's called Taco Complete. It is taco meat filling. Comes in a can that you just heat and throw into a taco, and you've got a full, the tagline is heat, stuff, eat.
Anything that can go from in a can to in a taco in under 4 minutes is okay in my book.
But I mean, think about it. You're like, wait a second, taco meat in a can.
Huh. It's like those hamburgers in the can where you got to like boil the can. You know, I don't know if you ever seen those. Oh,
yeah. You know, I've seen the videos. I've always wanted to try one.
There's the Asian lady who does all the,
Emmy.
Man, she always, it's just her face. I think it's her expression. She looks terrified all the time.
She does. I love watching her videos though. All right. So Pace Taco Complete. It is, it has, as you can imagine, being a canned item that has meat, there are a lot of ingredients. But what surprised me is there's like red peppers and corn and black beans. You actually taste the vegetable part of it way more than you taste the beef.
Probably heavy on that. You know, it is meat though. It's real meat. It's not, meat like product.
Seasoned cooked beef and pork. I'm looking at the ingredients right now.
Wow.
So I saw the calorie, like 60 calories a serving. Wow. I mean, hopefully I'll like this.
Servings per container, 900.
There's 7 servings per container. And it's, and Brent, it's not even a full can. It's like one of those half cans.
Yeah, it's just all preservatives and
all preservatives. And yeah. I would not recommend it. I would take the extra 5 minutes and brown up some ground beef and throw in some seasoning packet.
So if you know what you like, if you have a seasoning packet or if you make it yourself, tacos are such an easy thing to make.
They are. So not recommended. Don't like it.
Wild Planet Sardines. Give it a go. Give it a try. Send us a picture. Pace, you know, choose your meat in a can. You know, try that too and let us know.
I have a bonus.
Oh.
A bonus item. All right. Now you can hear it. I'm cracking it open.
Okay.
All right.
Let me ask you, can I just make a wild guess?
Yes.
Is it potted meat? It is, isn't it?
It is not potted meat.
Oh, I don't know why, but my mind went to potted meat when you tore the top off.
The reason I laughed my ass off when you said that is I had two items extra that I had bought for eventual cafeteria 51s. Mm-hmm. I chose the other one The one that I didn't choose was armor potted meat.
Yeah, that my dad, man. Skim that on some bread, go to town on it, man. I don't like it.
So I'm going to dig into this item.
Okay.
It is thick in texture. It smells like preservatives. As with most of these canned items, you know, that we've tried. All right, now I'm gonna try it.
Remember when pudding used to come in a can? Just like
I've seen those. Wow, this is really salty. I've seen those tins, like the Costco sized tins of pudding.
Yeah, we used to just, you know, your single serving ones that come in the cups now used to come in metal cans.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
What are those huge tins called? That they have a name.
Oh yeah, I mean, it almost looks like a coffee container. You know,
like, no, but they're like it's like, oh, get a 15 of, or not, that's not the name, but
I have no idea.
Nation, you're screaming at your phone right now. I know. I can't remember it.
So what is this?
All right, so like, so it's man, I don't even know if I can eat my. I'm just gonna come out and tell you it wasn't far off with potty meat. It's called Zwan, Zwan, chicken and beef luncheon loaf.
Oh, so it's like the you know, the deviled ham spread. They have a similar. It's, they have the you chicken know,
it's
one.
Consistency wise, it's much more like spam.
Oh, okay.
So it's in a spam shaped container.
Oh.
It does not taste like spam at all. Like spam, go back to the episode. I didn't hate, you know, like there's different ways.
Lisa
you eat it.
Was like, oh, fried hard, you know, she actually really liked it.
This has some, it's almost got a gaminess to it. Like, you know, if you have some like wild game, or if you eat like,
was made with organs wild, of a wild caught chicken,
you know? Well, like, even at Thanksgiving, the giblets, the heart and all that stuff.
Oh man, Lisa and I fight over them. Yeah.
But that stuff's gamey. Here, let's look at the. So anyway, Zwan is from, it says it's from Holland. There is.
Isn't that weird?
because it's from Zwanenburg, Holland. Now, it also, interestingly, also has a lot of what I think is Arabic writing on it. So I don't know if. Oh, it's halal. There, that's why. It's halal. All right. So I'm going to look at the. Let's find the ingredients on here. All right. Here we go. Mechanically separated chicken, water, beef, potato starch, beef heart. Aha! Maybe that's the gaminess. Beef heart, salt, and then spices, sodium phosphates, sodium erythrobate, natural flavorings, and everyone's favorite, sodium nitrite.
Natural flavorings.
It is a small can. This is the best part. When I said it was salty, I wasn't kidding. Like this is, I think you guys would, we talked before on another episode about how one thing we're eating, I found less, salty.
Less bothered by salt than you are, I think.
Right. Yeah. I think you guys would be bothered by this one. by the way, so in the can, it's a can that's roughly the size of a spam can. There are 6 servings. Each serving has 580 grams of sodium.
Yeah.
So you're gonna get your week's worth of sodium if you eat this bad boy. I'm going to set that to the side.
My pucker.
I hope, dear listener, I hope you enjoyed it because I certainly did not.
Hey, sardines! That we got one thumbs up on this one. So
yeah, I'm jealous, man. I wish I would have. I wish we were doing the same one this time.
I actually wondered. I wonder if he's gonna pull out like sardines or something. We're both doing the same thing because we just said grab something and we'll surprise each other. So. That sounded weird.
I was wondering if one of us was gonna like, you know, be an asshole about it, which I could see both of us doing, and grabbing like saltine crackers or, you know, just something the most benign thing that everyone has in their pantry. But no, right. Luckily, right. we stuck with the, well, I wouldn't even say the vision for Cafeteria 51, but what it's evolved, the evolution of Cafeteria 51. Right.
Now, I didn't unfortunately have any pretzels to put my sardines on, like in the Burbs. I don't know if you've ever seen the Burbs.
It's been a while. I've seen it.
Klopek's house, and they bring them sardines and pretzels, and no one wants to try them. That actually sounds really good to me, man. Now that I'm thinking about that, I need to go get some pretzels.
You do.
Well, I'm going to work on pretzels, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be back into our little bit more No, a regular. We're going to talk about some of the Fordian topics of 2020 that came out this year. Ones that you guys have been flooding Hysteria Nation with in a good way. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51.
Just the smell of that stuff. Man, it's pervasive.
My room smells like college. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Fordian 2020, it kept us entertained, and so we didn't have to put out our own eyes Greek style. Oh, man. luckily, my wife and I like each other, because it would have been a trying year if we didn't. I don't want to speak for her, but
Well, hold on. You like her. She's not here to validate the other side of that.
She had to put that in her vow, so it doesn't matter. She, you know, I promise to always to like him, period. Full stop. Period. That's how that works. Yeah, John, the big one this year, which has been more entertaining. I'm just going to get out on right ahead of this. It's been more entertaining seeing people's reactions than the actual things.
Well, yeah. So you're going to talk about the two big stories that have permeated the zeitgeist this year. Obviously, the two things we're going to talk about are the U.S. presidential election and the coronavirus.
Exactly. Just hilarity ensues. Here we go.
So here's what we think about politics. Now, so just kidding. If you're anything like us, you have had your fill of that and you get that news elsewhere. Our stories are a bit more out there.
Yeah. Number one, the one that people are just, I noticed you wrote in our notes a couple story links to them, and now they're everywhere. The monoliths that someone put up one, and then they've been popping up all over the world. Before we even get into it, John, I want your over under on this. What do you think it is? What do you think's doing it? What? Who?
So I think the first one is much more mysterious to me than the rest. Because we don't know how long it was sitting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that some sort of, it's kind of like the Georgia Guidestones. Just, well, now I guess we know a little bit more about those. It's like, I think humans did it. I don't think it's an extraterrestrial or anything. I think the first one might have been some sort of interesting person, group, whatever, putting something up for some reason. And I think that we've had a lot of copycats since.
Yeah, it was first seen on, from The Independent, they talked about it, and it was first seen on 18th of November, and that was by a helicopter crew that were flying over it. Then it disappeared on the 27th of November. So, depending, like you said, on when it went up. Now, there's been a lot of talk about it was an art installation. It was done as that. The problem with it, it was in the Utah desert. It's in a area that they don't want people destroying. People were going out there to try to see it and shit. And it was causing havoc. And it's also an area where people don't really need to be going if you're not into trekking and hiking and going into areas like that. And they're actually worried that people might die trying just to get out to see these
things. Also, it's worth noting, we call these monoliths, but they aren't, because they're metal. Monoliths would be stone. But the reason, I think, is because everyone's thinking of Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. And like the similarity to those. Yeah. So if you've seen A Space Odyssey, you know that the monkeys, you know, eventually start to make tools and stuff because that, you know, that monolith shows up. Mm-hmm. And it actually is funny. If you go back to that scene, the monolith popping up kind of looks like the Utah desert.
Right. Right.
Well, and so I think that's why everyone's calling them monoliths, because it's reminiscent of that movie, because these are not stone. So
interestingly, they go to Wikipedia. Good for them. They have a running list of the 2020 monoliths. And just to break it down real quick, we've had one in Africa and Morocco. Europe has had 20. Canada has had 3. The United States has had 14. Australia's had 2. Central America's had 1. South America's had 2. They're all over. And I think a lot of that is just people saw something and ran with it. And you've seen when they take some of them down, some of them are shoddily made, some weren't. Some looked real nice.
Yeah, some were definitely made in, like, you know, Jethro's barn and it with whatever he had laying around.
Yeah, yeah.
But others are much, much more presentable.
Yeah, now I would love to say that this is the guidepost that, you know, humanity needs to be going to, that they're going to come and see us. But I don't buy into that at all. I did love the meme someone put where you zoom in on it and says, "We've been trying to reach you about the extended warranty on your vehicle." I don't know, man. Maybe it's just the cynic in me. But yeah, I was just like, this is hilarious. And it's funny to me that everyone is doing it and redoing it. I think that shows a little bit of spirit of humanity and having fun with it.
Yeah, 100%. So let's start with the first one.
Yeah, the Utah.
It suddenly disappeared after being there for a week or whatever. And on the same day it disappeared, one popped up in Romania. And it then vanished like a week later. But that was like the first.
You wonder if they were like plan together type thing.
Well, that was the ooh mm-hmm. moment, because it popped up the same day the other one disappeared. And obviously that takes a level of coordination or a level of coincidence.
Yeah.
So Brent, the question is, do you think the first and second were tied to each other in any way? And second, at least the first one, what do you think was behind it?
They've had people say that they did it. They've compared it to works by John McCracken, who did stuff like that, and he lived in the Southwest. Do I think they are connected? It was taken down by a crew that went out there to take it down for that specific reason, that they didn't want it there. So that, it definitely wasn't the same one shipped or something like that. You know what I mean? So I don't want to say that was any aspect of it. Do I think they could have been connected? Possibly. It is fun that it hasn't been proven or came out for sure one way or another yet. So I do think that's fun. But I don't think that there is. It's not the Georgia Guidestones where there's shit written on it where we're like, oh, God, what's this mean?
I mean, my money, honestly, at least for a portion of them, if not all of them, my money is on some sort of a deep fake marketing scheme.
You're waiting for it to come out that it's part of like Loki that's coming out or something like that.
I honestly, I really thought somehow they were going to try to, associate it with Cyberpunk 2077.
Sorry, we couldn't spend money to make the game work. We spent it all on monoliths. Sorry. We're sorry.
I have the game. Everyone's complaints, man. I don't know. It's a little glitchy. It certainly is. And there are points where it doesn't run perfectly, but man, people are eviscerating the game. Like it's the second coming of ET on Atari, and it's not that bad.
Neither was ET on Atari if they just read the instruction manual, but hey,
that's a good point. So we both agree that it is of this world. It is not extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
So if it is of this world, do you think that it is A, people with unknown intent, B, some sort of artistic endeavor, or C, some sort of marketing scheme?
Artistic endeavor. I think that we would have seen the marketing thing by now. It still could be, and that'd be awesome if it was. Kudos to them. But for me, I'm kind of going into it was just an artist doing something, at least the first one, maybe the first couple. And then people ran with it. And that's where my money is at if I was hedging a bet on it.
I want to believe it's a marketing scheme, but I would just as equally, if not maybe even more so, agree with you. And then you've had a bunch of copycats. You know what it kind of reminds me of? It's like sometimes these things happen that get so into the, I'll use this term for the second time tonight, cultural zeitgeist, that others can't help but emulate and copy. One that was much, this one is pretty innocuous. One that was a little bit more harmful was that whole clown thing a few years ago.
Right.
Remember like how clowns would stand on the side of the road and then come chase your car.
Which we'll be talking about soon on our episode on clowns.
That's right. We will.
Sorry. That's up in my throat.
Not to spoil it, that happened, but it's not like every time a clown popped up and did that, it was the same people. It was copycats, right?
Yeah, people get a hold of an idea and run with it.
And that's got to be this. I mean, even if it was a marketing scheme or even if it is an art installation, they didn't do all of them. Like other people are like, they're bored. They're sitting around like, well, I can't go to the bar. What should we do?
I got an idea. I think this one, let's wait and see, but to me it's played out. It is what it is.
The fun part though is the mystery.
Yeah,
so right. Like you said, if this is a marketing scheme, I agree with you. Good for them.
Yeah. Well, let's end this little segment before we go to the next one with friend of the show who doesn't even know we're saying that because we've never talked to him and doesn't know he exists. Stephen Colbert. How's that sound? He did a little piece of the monolith.
You know he's a listener.
The original Utah desert monolith is gonolith. Over the weekend, we learned that the mysterious monolith was removed on Friday evening. A photographer on the scene saw four men arrive as if out of nowhere to dismantle it, saying, "Leave no trace. This is our mission." Clearly, government agents working for the Department of Fun Stomping. Come on, guys, just let us have this. We didn't have a chance to see if it shot out beams to melt anybody's bones. But then the mystery deepened, because on Friday, another mysterious monolith suddenly appeared, this time in Romania. Do these aliens not watch the news? American monoliths are not allowed to travel to Europe. Please tell me this monolith did not celebrate Thanksgiving. Now comes the news that the mystery monolith vanished in Romania on Tuesday, and then a new mysterious monolith appeared on top of a mountain in California yesterday. How could it move that fast? Are we dealing with one monolith, or is it a pair of duoliths? Folks, it's no coincidence that these monoliths appeared just before the great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn coming up on December 21st. Open your eyes, sheeple! These monoliths are clearly dormant subspace-time energy nodes that will awaken at a specific pitch in the vibration of the interplanetary matrix to help us make the leap to the next great phase of human evolution, reach beyond imagination, and touch the very face of God. Or it's going to turn out to be like a viral campaign for Mountain Dew. Either way, I'm here for it.
Thanks, Steven.
Now, not to be outdone, John, by a monolith that probably we're all hedging our bets as we said that it isn't anything from outer space. Space be knocking on our door. And how do we know? The Israelis. That's how we know, John. John, what's going on? What's our other big story that's came out?
The Galactic Federation.
Not the Federation of Planets. Not the same.
Not the same at all.
Different t-shirts and different gift shop. It's all completely different.
Basically, this is just one guy.
Sorry.
Oh, no problem. This is just one guy, but he was a big deal. This guy's name is Haim Eshed. He's 87 years old. He is Israel's former head of, he was the director of their space programs for the Ministry of Defense for 30 years.
Yeah. The former Israeli space security chief, as they call him. I was reading it on Yahoo, and I love the first paragraph when you go in and read about it. A former Israeli space security chief has sent eyebrows shooting heavenward by saying that Earthlings have been in contact with extraterrestrials from a galactic federation. Maybe just one of those dudes like, I ain't got a lot of time. Fuck it. What are they going to do? 86 me?
Well, and, you know, stories like this get more credence, I suppose, because when they are people who have held positions of power.
Yeah. Well, and he paints the U.S. as the bad guys in this because he says the U.S. government signed a contract with the aliens that allows them to do experiments on people. And we're just guinea pigs waiting for the inevitable probing or whatever they're going to do to us.
Which begs the question, if one side or another violates the contract, where exactly is space court? I'm obviously tongue in cheek, but
New Jersey, unfortunately, signed a contract. That's just everyone's even space is like, oh God, I got to go to Jersey.
We signed a contract. And if you violate that contract, we will see you in court. Like what the fuck is he talking about? Anyway, I digress. That's me on these stories. I get stuck on the small stuff.
Yeah.
He also said that not only is Trump aware of the existence of the extraterrestrials, but that he has been, quote, on the verge of revealing information about this, but that he was asked not to, as to prevent, quote, mass hysteria.
Yeah. They're waiting, as they always say, waiting for us to get our shit together. And we're not doing well on that. You know, we're not getting our one planet way of thinking. Instead, we're still these tribes kind of thing. I didn't say that, but that's what every movie you've seen, a sci-fi movie before.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And, you know, it's funny. He's actually playing on kind of the modern day conversation. He said, if I had come up with what I'm saying today, 5 years ago, I would have been hospitalized.
Yeah.
Today, they're already talking differently. I have nothing to lose. I've received my degrees and awards. I am respected in universities abroad, where the trend is also changing. So what he's saying is things like, you know, the Tic Tac and Commander Fravor and all of that coming to light and the New York Times articles and everything. He's saying has set the stage for him to feel comfortable to share all of this with
us.
Now,
there is a little bit of a about this because he's got a book coming out and a lot of people are saying, well, he's just doing this to drum up business for his book. So they went to the one guy who used to do this for the at least the British government, Nick Pope. He used to investigate UFOs for the British Ministry of Defense. And he said, here's a quote, either this is some sort of practical joke or a publicity stunt to help sell his book, perhaps with something having been lost in translation, or someone in the know is breaking ranks. So, yeah, thanks for breaking it down there, Nick Pope. It's one of those things. You're right. It is definitely true, false,
or not.
Or a publicity stunt.
Now that's analysis.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of missing pieces to this. You know, he came out and made these claims. The U.S. government hasn't, you know, released a statement. The Israeli government hasn't released a statement. With UFOs been in the news like they have been, it's an interesting thing. But, you know,
let's go down. We can call it a thought experiment or whatever you want. But regardless of this man's claims, and regardless of even, let's just say for a second that aliens haven't even been to Earth. Mm-hmm. But under this same thought experiment, aliens do exist. There is life out there of some type. My question, Brent, do you think that there's enough life and that life has found each other and to the point where there is some sort of, as he put it, galactic federation, some sort of accruement of various life forms and various peoples from various planets across the galaxies that have, more Star Trek-ish, you know, created this this interstellar government?
I mean, do I have any fucking clue? No, I don't have any clue. Do I hope so? Yes, I do. And that means that life isn't just random. And these places probably got busy living a long time or millions of years before we did. And so they've had a lot longer than we have. I hope so. And it wouldn't make sense for them to reach out or do things and maybe not make themselves known right away, but it's such a weird thing. And, you know, you politics and religion and everything comes into question when you find out that this is true or not true, you know, whichever way that was, you know, could fall. And I don't know. If it's just such another trope that, well, you were not ready to know. But then every time something comes out in the news, everyone goes, I don't want to have to do this or that, you know, their own, you know, piddly life stuff, me included, when they're saying we're seeing UFOs in the sky, this and that and the other. So I don't know if we're not ready. I don't know. I don't know where it falls. But I do hope that, that there is a galactic federation out there. It is interesting that this guy.
As long as it's not like the Galactic Empire,
right? Pray I don't alter the deal any further.
I think we all know that the truth is that they do exist and they're waiting for us. And they're waiting for Zefram Cochrane, to unlock warp capabilities for our.
That's all we need. Just a little warp to get you going, and that way they can show themselves to us. I need to
find someone with the last name Cochran and convince them to name one of their children Zephyr.
Well, we went to school with some Cochrans.
We did.
Get on the horn.
I don't know if they're still making babies or not, but if they are, maybe we should give them a call.
Well, I mean, they can always just rename one of their existing ones.
That's true. I mean, it's a guy. I guess, actually, I could rename my kid. He doesn't have to have our last name. I could just
side
name
note, him so Zephyr my Cochran. Buddy. My buddy was, we were going to go on a cruise years ago, and he goes to, at that time, you didn't have to have a passport, but you had to have your birth certificate if you're going to Canada or Mexico or somewhere.
Yeah.
So he goes and he gets his birth certificate, and he's like, huh, well, this is weird. So long story short, when his parents, for whatever reason, his mom, when she was filling out the birth certificate, used her, they were married, used her maiden name she thought she was supposed to use on there, like each of them. So technically, his last name was his mother's maiden name. On everything he had, driver's license, everything showed his real, you know, the last name of his father that they had. So every form of ID he had was invalid. So he's like, what the fuck do I do? They're like, well, you have to legally change your name to what you think it is, like what you've been going by. He's like, motherfucker, you know, so he had to go through it, and it's not cheap. You got to go through it all. And he was like, I don't really have the money to do all this. I'm like, I will make you a deal. I will pay for you to change your name. I'll pay for you to get all new IDs everything, but I get to pick your name. And I wanted him to change his name to Apache Warhammer, but he would not do it. I'm like, just how awesome it would be, like, next in line, Apache Warhammer.
Let's see here. Warhammer, Warhammer, Apache.
Yeah. He didn't see the humor in it like I did. So no, he just changed it to what it was supposed to be the whole time. But what a weird, oops. Yeah. I messed that up when I was filling out paperwork.
That is like the ultimate horrible version of getting caught in the like double verification loop. So I don't know if you've ever had something like this happen, but you opt into double verification, you know, when you're signing into your email or whatever, but then you give it the wrong phone number or the wrong email that you don't actually own. And so when it wants to verify that you are you and you, okay, well, you know what? I'll just change it back. Well, it has to verify that you're you to allow you to change the double verification. And you get caught in this cycle, this circle. and that sounds, what you just described sounds like the worst version of that.
Well, you know who, if anyone can overcome that, it's Apache Warhammer.
That's true.
Now he's living the, you know, his best life. John, let's go to another break, and when we come back, we're gonna wrap this bastard up. We've been rambling and stuff. We got a little more to give them, though. Let's come up after the break on Hysteria 51.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Oh, Brent, it's been one hell of a year.
The shortest, longest year in the world.
Seriously, I don't even know how to quantify it, because it feels like March was roughly 33 years ago. But at the same time, if you asked me what I did all summer, I can't tell you.
Cry, like everyone. Cry.
Improved my life in every way. I studied. I got another degree. I lost 100 pounds. None of that's true. Anyway, Brent, one thing that is true is that we needed ways to spend our time to divert our attention this year. And I think an appropriate way to wrap up the year for us. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of our favorites from the year.
Ooh.
Now, let's not do, favorite 2020 movie release, and it has to have been released in 2020. I there'll be plenty of those lists out there. You can go read them somewhere else. Let's talk about our favorites. And I put together a list of categories that we consumed this year.
Okay.
If the movie that you consumed this year was Braveheart for the first time, and it was your favorite that you watched all year, then that counts. It was new to you.
Yeah.
And obviously, hopefully most of our choices are newer this year, but why don't we go through a list there, and let's start with, we were making jokes about Cyberpunk 2077 earlier. Let's start with your favorite video game that you played this year.
The only one I've been playing, which is now 15 years running. I've been playing World of Warcraft again. They had a new expansion come out. And
have you really?
Yeah, I started playing again. I'd stopped for a while.
Oh no, we're going to lose you. This has been Hysteria 51. We're signing off.
Right. I've played some while we were doing the show here and there, but you know, I've been doing it. It's fun, you know, just to relax. There was a time back in the day when a lot of my friends, my real life friends that, you know, that we all played and we raided and did all this stuff. And it is a encompassing, consuming thing, if you allow it to be. So yeah, definitely not going to do something like that, but I've been having fun with that.
You've told a story, I think, even on this show about how when you really were playing a lot, the amount of hours that you would lose to it and dedicate to it because you're having fun.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no harm in it, but it's kind of one of those black holes you fell down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. The dark days, the before time.
The before time. Oh man, for me, you know, I think I've played a lot of video games this year. I generally read about a book a month, and my reading this year has really curtailed, and I think it's been replaced by video game playing. I don't know.
I haven't read as much this year, or hardly at all, like I usually do too.
Yeah, it's been a very strange year for reading for me. So I play a lot of video games. I think my favorite, I'll mention a couple. My favorite actually didn't come out this year. My favorite is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It came out a few years ago. You know, Assassin's Creed games, if you've played them, they always take place in different time periods from the past. So there was one during the Revolutionary War. There was the most recent one is all about Assassin's Creed Valhalla is all about the Vikings. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is from ancient Greece. And I'm always intrigued by that time period. A lot of the names you know from history are interwoven into the game. Like you've got this whole storyline going on with Socrates and I drink what? Anyway,
it's so great. Like lots of dude.
So great. It just a lot of fun. I think my favorite game that I played that actually did come out this year was Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's the second Spider-Man that they're like from the same, it's a PlayStation only game, I think. And man, they just nailed it. It's just as fun as the first one, if not more so. My only complaint is that how short the story is. It doesn't take that long to beat, but most of the time, superhero video games suck.
Yeah.
The Marvel's Avengers that came out this year, I thought it sucked.
Turned to shit. They're talking about how it was just a disaster.
It was, but man, Spider-Man, they just nailed it. They just did it. Like you control Spider-Man the way you want to control him. Like, you know, from web slinging to going between buildings. And it's just a ton of fun. Other runners up. I really enjoy the new Call of Duty. I've always a Call of Duty guy. So, and this is a Black Ops one, and the Black Ops ones are from Treyarch. And I always like the Treyarch releases better. They've got the zombie modes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I haven't played it enough to give an opinion, but I did pick up, like where I was saying, Cyberpunk 2077 looks promising, but I'll reserve my judgment for perhaps our 2021 year.
Well, if you want to hear some more about that, we just will have released an episode of Mad Blur Hysteria where we talk about some of the issues with Cyberpunk 2077 and ray tracing. And ray tracing, a guy has it running now on the Super Nintendo. And if you don't know what ray tracing is, hop on our Patreon and we got an episode on there. It's really cool. It was pretty interesting story.
Very nice. All right. So enough of my boring everyone video game stuff. Did you read, favorite book of the year? Did you read a book?
Yeah, I read a couple books. I read a couple books from JTR Brown. I read stuff who's been on the show. I've read stuff from Michael Gonzalez, who's also a guy on the show. I read tons of stuff for the show. I'm trying to think, but that was all so early into the year. And for some reason, when you think I should have been reading, I stopped. You know what I mean? As far as like, I just did other things while I was here. Probably my favorite, though, is still, I'm a huge Lee Child fan. I'm still digging into the Jack Reacher series. I'm 20 some books in. And I'm still really enjoying it. So anything from Lee Child, I'm a fan of. Nice. And if you want to get into the character, you can kind of jump in anytime you want and just get going.
I'd say my favorite book I read this year was Facebook, The Inside Story. I think the only reason I'm calling it number one, because it was intriguing and I finished it.
Yeah.
There are a number of books that I need to go back to that I didn't finish by no fault of the book, but because my mind was wandering and, you know, it's been like, as we said before, it's been an odd year. Well,
a seriously good book that I can't tell you guys enough about, too, was Devolution by Max Brooks. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really good.
I read it not because he was just going to be on the show. I read it because I wanted to read it. I wanted to have him on the show because I wanted to read the book. You know,
because you wanted to read the book, exactly. Right? The book I just started might wind up being my favorite of the year if I can finish it up before New Year's. But I just started Ready Player Two.
Okay. Yeah. Are you really liking it?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm literally only one chapter in.
Yeah.
And it already feels like, I remember the movie Taken and how great it was. And it was kind of an original, take on, yeah, on that type of,
and then they made a sequel,
anti-hero. Yeah. And then they made a sequel and it was literally the exact same thing with like almost the same words.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Ready Player Two is feeling like so far. Like, let's just, now he's got to win another thing.
So I read, I'm lying to you right now. I did not read. I listened to Ready Player One, mm-hmm, and Will Wheaton read it. I fucking loathe Will Wheaton. I hate him. I don't know what it is. He's just a smug prick to me, and I just cannot stand him.
you say when you said to you, like, you know, back when we were hanging out, yeah,
back around when I was in Stand By Me with him. I'm Jerry O'Connell. I don't know if you guys know that. Brent Hand's a just, you know, a pen name. No, like, I don't know why. And so many people love him. Just seems, and he probably is just genuine, but he comes off to me as just this smug prick.
He does. I couldn't agree more. I know a lot of the people in the geek world are kind of look at him as a
poser,
as some sort of
type.
What's that?
Poser type thing or something?
Oh no, I thought a lot of them like him, like as a hero. Hero. You know, he's in the cool stuff, but he also is a fan,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
You know, and takes that approach, and then he was in anyway, point being, I think a lot of folks like him, but I'm with you, he kind of comes off holier than thou.
Yeah, so anyway, he totally ruined the experience for me the book, because he'd be talking, I'm like, you fucking asshole.
Well, the first one I gotta tell you, I loved it. I've read it three
times.
It was so
much fun, but the book was so different in a great way.
Yeah. So I guess my point is, I'm only a chapter in, and it could go off in a, I shouldn't even be talking about it, because it could go off in a million amazing directions.
The thing they did in the first book that they did not do in the movie that I really liked was when they were in there and, you know, playing the game and stuff, they would hang out at those places and just drill each other on 80s trivia.
Yeah.
And I loved that. That was one of the things that I really like. I love shit like that. That you can't really do that in the movie. You know what I mean? But, you know,
right.
You know, so what are you going to do?
All right, Brent, let's move on. Let's keep this going. Favorite TV show you watched this year?
Mandalorian, period. Full stop. Yeah, I've been really enjoying it.
It's not my favorite. I really like it, but I have one above it. It did not come out this year. The third season was supposed to come out this year, but, you know, COVID. I just discovered Titans on HBO Max.
I don't know anything about it.
So it's based on the characters, the Teen Titans, DC.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. So,
yeah,
you know, the protagonist is Robin. Mm-hmm.
I've seen yeah.
Or well, it's Robin 1,
Dick
I guess
Grayson.
Would be the, you know, Dick Grayson. That's right. Because Robin 2 is also in it. And then the other kind of protagonist is the Raven, who I wasn't too familiar with. But there's some other.
Oh, she's
I just
awesome.
Love the
Trigon's
treatment.
Child. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And she fights Trigon I don't want to spoil it, but I love the take on it, because it's not gritty is a good word to describe it, but it is not trying to be gritty for the sake of being gritty. It's just an adult take on this story. It's really well done, really well acted, really well cast. And it's also so many times on these kind of side character shows, they are scared to address the big characters, meaning if it's a side character show about some side character from Superman, you'll see a cape fly by.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you'll never actually see an actor portraying Superman. And on Titans, man, they're not scared of it. Bruce Wayne's in it.
That's cool.
I love their take on Bruce Wayne. It's kind of the Batman Beyond take. He's an older guy who's Bruce Wayne is played by Ian Glenn. I think that's how you say his name. I A I N. Anyway, you'll recognize him from Game of Thrones. And they show the Batmobile, they show the Batcave. And my point is, they're not scared to do that. They don't dance around it. Towards in the second season, Superboy comes along.
Yeah.
And in this iteration, he's basically, you know, creating a lab, half Superman, half Lex Luthor, and he has Crypto, the dog,
which is that's Superboy. That's where he came from.
But there have been other versions of Superboy that weren't that.
Well, there's been old, you know, Superboy, the original, which was just young Superman. But the Superboy from the 90s that everyone knows, he was made in the lab and half and doesn't have all the powers.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, if you haven't checked it out, it's a great show. Highly recommend it. The third season was supposed to come out literally like last month, but COVID. So they're filming. I think they're filming now, but it's coming out next year.
For music, because we're going to get to that. You know, I've been listening to Motley Crue. I watched The Dirt, and that was a fun movie. It wasn't on my radar when it first came out. I've been listening to a lot of Crue lately and just enjoying it. And then some other stuff from, you know, stuff that Nikki Sixx has written and other, you know, offshoots from them. Nothing too crazy, you know, but old school.
I've gone back to I was really excited to see this band perform this year, and I'm going to see them next year because it's already been rescheduled. I've been going back to a ton of My Chemical Romance. I put my eyeliner back on and I never wore eyeliner, but I love My Chemical Romance, and I actually got my kid into it, and so he always gets to listen to a song before he goes to bed, and a lot of times he'll come in and say, Daddy, I want to listen to the Black Parade.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you a My Chemical Romance song if you put a gun to my head.
I will not put a gun to your head. I've been charged for less.
I probably know them when I hear them. You know what I mean?
But no, you would. You would know their more popular songs. The other thing I've listened to a lot more of, and they came out with a new album this year, is really good. The Killers.
Yeah.
Are you a?
No.
Do you like
Killers? I know them, but you could. Yeah. I don't listen to the radio. At all, ever. So new shit, I only hear it from like when people play it or whatever, you know. It's not on my radar anymore for whatever reason. I am not a music aficionado at all.
Well, one thing I do know you're an aficionado of, Brent, are movies. What was your what's your favorite flick that you watched this year?
It definitely not my favorite, but I did really enjoy The Dirt, which, you know, then got me to go down the whole Motley Crue rabbit hole. So that's been kind of fun as far as that goes. A very depressing, but I really enjoyed it, was Let Him Go. It is that Kevin Costner and Diane Lane, I think it was in there, where it's a period piece and they lose their son, and then their former daughter-in-law runs off with their kid and they're trying to get him back, and it's a slit your wrists and doom and gloom movie. It was really good, really well acted. That's a new movie from this year. I will say I really enjoyed that.
Nice. My favorite movie that I watched this year by far, and this surprised me as much as it's going to surprise you, a Netflix original.
Oh yeah?
Extraction.
Oh, okay.
So if you haven't seen Extraction, or you don't know what I'm talking about, it's Chris Hemsworth flick. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it is based on a graphic novel. And anyway, it was done by the Russo brothers, and it is just awesome. It is remember how people almost thought that like movie fighting was redefined by the Matrix?
Yeah.
Like it was just like you hadn't seen battle like that. I kind of feel like this did it again. Like the fight scenes are just beautifully choreographed and shot and of course executed. Really, really, really fun movie, and kind of a cliffhanger at the end, almost like they could definitely probably do a sequel. I think they might even have announced it already. Here we go. Revealing the Netflix sequel is expected to start filming in 2021. There you go.
A couple little honorable mentions. Love and Monsters came out this year. It was awesome. It was a fun little out of nowhere movie that I enjoyed.
Watch the preview. Is it good?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, just a little heart. It had some heart behind it and stuff, and it wasn't as cheesy as I thought it would be. And, you know, and another, the sequel to, and you can watch them both and they're fun, is The Babysitter and The Babysitter 2. Very fun, you know, horror comedies. that actually were funny and just held up, they were great. It's a really fun ride for both of them. So yeah, check those out if you get a chance. All right, like I said, the dirt was fantastic. Let him go, all those. So check them out.
One question for you, Brent. There is a Norwegian movie that I've been wanting to rent, but I got to do it when my wife's not around because she's not interested in watching it. Have you seen Mortal?
No, I don't think I've heard of it.
Okay. It's like a fantasy flick. I think the premise is this guy basically says he has godlike powers and you're not sure if it's true or not. I'm if someone who's seen it is probably going, no, you idiot, it's not that at all. But anyway, it's supposed to be really good. It's well reviewed. I'm gonna have to check it out.
It's funny going to movies sometimes not actually knowing the whole fucking story.
That's true.
I don't do anymore.
Well, there is one of those that I will rent when it comes out that I don't know the story on at all. Tenet.
Yeah. Feels like it's in the whole same universe as Inception. Yeah, definitely.
And it's one of those that people have very strong opinions on.
Yeah.
Like some people hate it. Some people loved it. Yeah,
that's fun. That's 2020, man.
Let's wrap this up. We got a couple things left. What was your favorite podcast you listened to this year other than the obvious Hysteria 51?
I went back and listened to Breakers again, and I know that's just not like tooting Sam's horn, but that's just, I've really,
what did he slip you a 20?
I've really enjoyed that. I've listened to a lot of Breakers. I used to listen to more Joe Rogan, and I'm not going to lie to you, since he's went to Spotify only, I've stopped listening.
Are you just not a Spotify guy?
I don't know why, but like So probably that's been the one but Breakers is the one that I really like just listen to the whole thing again. I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to just because I'm engrossed in them so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So my favorite podcast I listened to this year by far was one from HeadGum called Dead Eyes. And it's great. So this actor named Connor Ratliff. He's a small time actor, but he's actually a fairly well known comedian, part of the Upright Citizens Brigade, I think, and various other comedy things. Anywho, he did this entire series, and I think there's actually a second season out now that I haven't listened to the second season. But basically, the premise is he was cast, and this is true. This is 100% true. This is a real life story. He was cast in the HBO TV series Band of Brothers. And the day before he was set to shoot, they said, we have a problem. You need to come in and do a read. They're not sure about you. And he had to come in and do a read for Tom Hanks. It was a tiny part for the episode that Hanks was going to direct. And basically, he came in, did the read. They said, great, thanks. And he got fired. He didn't get the job.
Whoa.
The reason it's called Dead Eyes is because the story goes, or the way he is, that Tom Hanks said that guy, even if he did say this, it never should have made it back to Connor. I can't cast him. He has dead eyes.
Wow.
Like on camera, his eyes just look, you know, like they're not doing anything. They're not alive. So it's basically kind of like trying to unravel the mystery of, was this said? What did they mean? What really happened? So it's like Serial, only it doesn't matter at all. And it's a stupid little story, but it's so well produced and well made. Highly recommend.
That's interesting and very specific. Very specific.
Which makes it like, if you think about, if you're going into it like it's a Serial type of podcast, mm-hmm. and it's about this inane little story, it's really funny. Also, I listen to a lot of sports betting podcasts, but I wouldn't put any of them in my top echelon of podcasts. They're kind of poorly produced and not well done, but I listen to them. The other one that I discovered this year that I really enjoyed is called Smartless, hosted by Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. And I'm a fan of all three of those guys, but especially Bateman. And it just listening to them make fun of each other is just enjoyable. I highly recommend checking it out.
That's cool. Yeah. This is the year of people trying out podcast and podcasting. And if you are wanting to start one next year, when everyone goes back to work, there's probably going to be deals on podcasting equipment all over Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. So keep that in mind. If this has been in the back burner or something you want to try out, give it a few more months and I bet you're going to get some deals.
You'll be able to find podcast mics left and
that's right. So yeah, man, that's been 2020. I feel just like it's just a blur. It's hard to even say what we were doing. Yet again, it seems like it just happened.
What was your favorite pastime that you discovered because of the pandemic?
I would love to be able to fill that in other than eating. I don't know. I didn't pick up anything new. You know, I'd love to tell you that I started a weaving loom or, you know, started really learning how to to yodel or
became a superhero.
No, nothing. I didn't know. I did. Whenever I've ever said I'm not going to be able to do that because they don't have the time, I was fucking lying. I was a goddamn liar. Because, yeah, when I did have the time, never mind.
I'd say mine is probably because I'm like you. I kind of stuck with what works. But you mentioned it earlier, sourdough. I had never gotten in the bread making game and created my own sourdough starter from scratch and then actually went through and baked numerous loaves. And I've since abandoned it and threw away. Yeah. But it was fun.
I loved when people are doing that. Then other people are online like, stop it. Don't do that. What about the people that need the spice? You know, it's like anything to be mad about something.
What about the people that need all that flour? I mean, there are people without flour. Like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, the great flour shortage of 2020 that never fucking happened. I don't know if you know this, but you put enough shit in it. Shit is in water. You can wipe your ass with it. So people were hoarding.
And we did have a TP shortage.
Exactly.
So Brent, final question. What is your selfish New Year's resolution? And what I mean by that is a New Year's resolution that will not help the planet, your fellow man, or even your own health in any way. But damn, you want to
go on a fucking vacation and just sit on a beach and have people cater to me. And I think that a lot of people are going to be having that same one. And for better or for worse, that's mine. I just want to, you know, just veg out somewhere and not have to worry about
anything. I feel like I should book it now. Like, it, you know, because like we know that it'll be safe a year from now.
Yeah.
But it's probably cheaper to book
maybe,
now.
Anyway. Maybe. Yeah, until COVID 2024, you know, when there's like seven more COVIDs between now and then or something, you know, who knows? Not 2024, COVID 24 or something happens, you know.
We all just wind up walking around the earth in like Bubble Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine is similar in nature. Meaning it's just getting back to something that we always used to do. I want to sit at a bar. Nobody has to be with me. I want to sit at a bar by myself, eat shitty peanuts, drink a flat beer, and watch a muted SportsCenter on a
repeat. You can have good beer, you know, and maybe the peanuts are brand new. Hell, splurge, man. Splurge.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But my point is, I want to sit at the act of sitting at a bar is something that I truly miss.
Yeah, Lisa and I were talking about that recently. A lot of places are still open around here. It's not. There are a few that are shucking that duty. We have we know someone that works at one, and they decided to stay open, and they've been flooded with younger people and fights and shit like that. And they're just like, it's not even worth it right now to even try to stay open because it's costing them money. It's just crazy.
Right. But, you know, and it's like also... sit at a bar without concerns, worries. Yeah. Could I be catching something right now?
That's always been a concern of mine at a bar, but hey, you know, whatever.
Well, the regular concerns and worries, say, you know. All right. Well, that has been our 2020 wrap up.
Yeah, we rambled a lot, but that's what this was for. Just a randomness of the year, because that's what this year was.
It was. But Nation, we want to know what you think. What were your favorite Fortean stories that we didn't cover today? And what were some of your favorites of the year? You know, favorite movie, favorite podcast, favorite video game, favorite potted meat, you know, all of it. You can tell us the answer to that question by going to our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation.
That's right.
Just go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. Or go to Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is our regular Facebook page. Patreon, patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find Mad Blurry Hysteria episodes and radio dramas and Up All Nights and all sorts of fun stuff. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. We're going to be getting back to those next episode. Forget any of these things, you can just go to hysteria51.com or gofopedia.com. They'll both get you there. You can find links to everything and our shiny faces and links to things that they've talked about us in the news. And you can spin the wheel of conspiracies. I forgot that's even on there. It's on there. You can have fun with it. Yeah, John, here's to 2021. Let's hope it's doesn't say, you know, here, hold my beer to 2020.
I mean, hey, listen, any year that's above ground's a good year, but I wouldn't mind an improvement.
At the stroke of midnight, all the world's issues aren't going to go away. Keep that in mind. Let's stay positive and work towards a better tomorrow, so to speak. Kumbaya. You're singing with me, my lord. Kumbaya. With that said, I've been Brent.
Yeah, I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.